Hi, it's Greg and Lucky.
And this is our podcast. If you don't catch us from 5 to 9, this is what you missed.
BuzzFeed decided to ask people what they think the worst songs of the 90s were. And things on the list include Every Morning from Sugar Ray.
Okay.
Lullaby from Sean Mullins. I Don't Wanna Wait from Paula Cole. I don't even know if I remember that.
Wait for our lives.
Yeah, I remember that one.
You know what? That'd be a fun game. I'm going to name the songs and you sing every one of them.
No.
Every morning, Sugar Ray, go.
Every morning when I wake up and it's in a four-post bed. Yeah, I remember that one.
Lullaby?
I don't remember that one at all.
Barbie Girl, Aqua.
Come on, Barbie. Let's go party.
Oh, that part I can do. I remember that. See, your world and my world in the 90s, I mean, we're so polar opposite on everything.
Right.
In the 90s, you were, of course, a teenager and running around and having fun.
You were singing lullabies.
I was.
To kids.
Well, I didn't hear any of this stuff. How did LFO's Summer Girls go?
Was that the I Like Girls Who Wear Abercrombie and Fitch?
Oh,
that song?
No, I remember that.
Summertime okay. Girls.
You Get What You Give, New Radicals.
We play that. Yeah.
Do we?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You gotta get what you give.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Thong Song. Do we know the Thong Song?
Thong Cisco. Yeah.
Informer from Snow.
Informer. You know, I never knew what the actual words were.
Oh, okay.
After that.
Right.
Because it's like he goes so fast.
Right.
So. I don't play them. You lick your boom boom down.
Nothing My Love Can't Fix, Joey Lawrence.
No, I don't know that one. I know Joey Lawrence.
Living La Vida. Living La Vida Loco, Ricky Martin.
Oh, that one, yeah, for sure. I don't have to sing it.
Yeah, I want you to.
You already know it.
You're still the one, Shania Twain.
Still what I long for? Is
yeah, I think so. I'm Too Sexy, Right Said Fred.
Oh, wow.
I'm Too Sexy.
Still have the mesh shirt.
Yeah. Mbop from Hanson.
Mbop, doop, dop, da, doop, wop. Yeah.
Do the Macarena?
I could do the dance. Oh, you know what? I couldn't remember if I had to do it right now.
Oh, really? Higher from Creed. We play that, don't we?
And you take me high. Probably in the 90s at noon. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Who Let the Dogs Out from Baha Men?
Who?
Achy Breaky Heart.
Oh, no thank you.
Achy Breaky Heart. I remember that one.
Yeah.
Crash Test Dummies. Was it?
Yeah.
Faith from Limp Bizkit, cover of George Michael.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Well, anything from Limp Bizkit could really make that list.
That's number two. You know what number one is? Mambo Number 5. So,
your favorite song of all time?
My favorite song of all time is considered the worst song of the 90s. What do you think is the germiest spot in your office?
In your office?
Yeah.
Boy, I think it would have used to be the phone, but you know, who has a landline anymore? I guess offices sometimes do.
Well, we still do.
Yeah. I would go with the keyboard on your computer.
It's number two. Door handles, number one.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, everybody
makes
catches
sense.
Them. Yeah.
Okay. I still catch myself every now and then, you know, looking, if I see some hand sanitizer and going, yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you walk into certain, like, stores, restaurants, every now and then you turn a handle and you almost feel it. You're like,
I've gone
oh,
right back
goodness.
To being a pig.
Yeah.
I mean, I barely got through all the craziness with the hand sanitizer at the height of COVID.
Right.
I just struggled through and sometimes just put on a show so people wouldn't get freaked out. But
well, I'm right there with you for the most part. It's just every now and then I'll be somewhere and go, yeah, that felt a little gross.
I mean, I will, and I always have for the longest time, even before COVID. When I would go into a restaurant and sit down, we'd look at the menu, we'd order something to drink, and then I'd go in and wash my hands.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I'm guilty of not doing that. What I do is when I get home now, I go in and wash my hands.
Mm.
And that's something pre-pandemic, I don't think I've really made a point of other than when I went to the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I mean, I'll do it before I cook food.
But in a restaurant, yeah, I won't go in and wash my hands specifically after touching the menu or anything like that. And that's usually one of the dirtiest things in the restaurant.
Your keyboard is like the second germiest. It's got over 3,000 microscopic organisms living in every square inch of the average keyboard.
Yum.
That's great. your desk, the microwave and fridge, the water cooler, the bathroom, the elevator buttons, vending machines, anything that everybody's touching is just,
yes,
is just gross.
Yeah, the microwave and fridge in this building is some sort of scientific experiment, I think.
I was, for a really brief period of time, getting water from the water cooler and then sticking it in the microwave and warming it up. And I did it for a few days, but every time I opened the door on that thing, it stinks like somebody died in it.
Right. Yeah, that might, those two things combined might contribute to why you have been feeling off for the last, like, 3 years.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I don't know who's in charge of changing the filter in that water cooler.
You never drink from it?
You know what? I drank from it. I was in, on Good Friday, and I had to fill up my drink, and I poured it out and went, I don't know if that's ever been changed.
Hmm.
I looked at that little water cooler that's been sitting there for a decade, and I don't know if anyone's ever touched it other than to just take water out of it. And it's not one of, like, the jug ones where they come in. But even those, they have to go through a tap part of it, right?
Right, but so there's a hard line going into it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it might have a filter, but it's just the regular water you would drink from the tap.
Right.
And I'm fine with drinking water from a tap.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to drink water from a hose. Now we gotta all be so special. Your pals, King and Lucky. Oh, my new name. I'm a big deal. I got a crown. We had the first and hopefully last meatball off. There is no reason to have another meatball off because I am forever. There's nobody who can beat my balls.
Right.
If anybody really would want to try to beat my balls, they're welcome to it. We did this at the events, Bond Street Events Center. Okay, oh, you know, I should, before I forget, all the food, most of it, all the meat, certainly, the beef and the pork and the veal, all supplied by Wild Fork and Whip.
Fantastic, yeah.
And thank them for that. And Christian Pritchard, he stepped up huge. I mean, basically, he brought in all of the supplies. He was checking in with me to see what we needed, and I just basically rolled in there on Thursday and started cooking. So thank you, Christian, for all you did. You might be Yorkshire pudding, but you're a good fella. And the staff at the event center, what an amazing building.
Really cool.
Wow, it's
really cool what they've done. It was originally like the CAW kind of hall, like a union hall.
I think so, yeah.
And it's gone through a few different renovations and reiterations. I think at one point it was like a laser tag facility. I remember playing there as a kid. And they've now turned it into a 3-level
mm-hmm.
Event space.
And soon to be 4, because they're going to put a balcony up on the roof.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were in the upstairs. They call it the snack bar, but it's a really cool little restaurant. Mm-hmm. And you can do a stage in one end. Then they've got the big concert venue, and then the old dungeon basement is now a new venue as well for hosting concerts.
Which Lucky said when we were roaming around and getting the tour, I remember coming into the dungeon a lot. I don't remember leaving.
Yes, very vague memories of it. Yeah. They're taking me through on a tour.
Yeah, you know, it was just.
I mean, you could go there just for the bathrooms.
Oh, I know.
Gorgeous.
It's funny because they have they've set up these beautiful green rooms for the headlining acts, and then the show openers get like a closet.
Right. Yes.
But you got to move up. You got to move up to the big room, and that's actually what would happen too. You'd start off, a young band could start off in the dungeon and then make their way up to the main floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now in Durham, I mean maybe outside of the casino in Pickering, because I have not been there. I haven't seen a show there. But I guess outside of the Tribute Community Center, it must be probably the biggest room available.
I think so. Well, you got the other concert hall right beside it, too.
Mm.
Or we're in between the two. And then I guess it's probably third or fourth on the list. But it doesn't matter. It's a great spot to watch shows.
Oh, sure. So, yes, it was all great and a lot of fun. And Teddy Reeder was there and Massimo Capra was there. Andrea
Nicholson.
I was going to say Johnson Nicholson.
No, yeah. Butchie's restaurant.
She was great. And they were the judges. And I thought particularly hard on Christian Pritchard.
They were. I mean, listen, Christian is a chef by trade, does a lot of work in the Food Network and other things and appearances, and has worked hand-in-hand with both Andrea Nicholson and Massimo Capra. So they really gave him the gears. Yours were, I believe, shriveled and misshapen. Your balls.
I've been dealing with it my whole life. What are you going to do? But it was great. It was all just a lot of fun. And watching Chef Alex at the event center do his thing, and even watching Christian, and when we've watched Ted, I mean, chefs just, they're crazy. I mean, they're just, Christian was throwing everything into the bowls. He was eating raw meat. He's just he's just a lunatic.
He also added a bread or biscuit too, right? To his meatballs.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
So there was a lot more going on.
Yeah, he put he put balls in his balls. He had the bocconcini balls
in
his balls.
That was a good mix. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, but still not enough to take down the king. So moving forward for the rest of your days, when you think balls, when you munch on balls, when you stare at balls, you think of me. A woman was caught shoplifting last week, and she had no shortage of stories for why she was stealing. In a very confusing conversation with the police, she initially said she was playing a really fun game called 21, where someone grabs as much merchandise from a store as they can, walks out without paying, and tries not to get caught. She believes she wasn't stealing because she was playing a game. All right, let's go with that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. What's the 21 have to do with it?
I have no idea. Maybe you got to get 21 items. I don't know.
Wow.
Anyhow, it reminded me, and I don't know if this is true through all of Greek families, but when my brother-in-law was marrying his wife, who is Greek, there was a big family get-together of all the new family gathering, hers and Maria's Italian. There was a lot of us at her parents' house. And this is going back, I guess, early 90s. And we were told that on this day of this party, if you could take something, get it out of the house without being caught by her father, it was yours. Lucky, I'm not kidding. I was dashing down the street with DVD players. I got away with a lot of stuff. And I probably had maybe 18, 20 items in the trunk. And Maria said, "You're giving that all back." And I said, "No, it's the game.
That's the rule.
It's the rules." So I did. I gave it all back.
Her father is like completely cleaned out.
Oh, yeah. It is a ridiculous... You know, not only, and I guess this goes back to, you know, when the bride's parents would pay for weddings. But
right, the dowry.
Poor guy's now got to pay all this for his daughter's wedding, and it was his eldest daughter, so a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then have people come to his home and rob him?
I know in Chinese culture, there's the red envelope, right? They give out red envelopes, and so they're giving out cash to the guests.
Oh, really?
Not the way back, right? But it was a cousin of mine who got married, and it was, I believe, you had to give a red envelope to everyone younger than you. But he got married, like, in his 50s.
Oh, Jesus. He's going broke.
It was not a good day.
Yeah. No, I don't think
for
so.
Him.
Can you just, like, is it like a token? Like, you can give somebody a dollar?
I think it's a token, but I think they were trying, because it was an envelope, they were trying to put a bill into it. And, of course, the lowest thing you got is fives now.
Yeah.
You've got 100 people at your wedding younger than you. It's getting expensive.
I remember we were invited to an Asian wedding years ago. And I always thought the Italians had, you know, so many people. This thing was on two floors.
I was going to say multiple floors, yeah.
Cameras set up so the people upstairs could see the people. There had to be like 1,000 people at this wedding.
Right, yeah.
And I didn't get no red envelope. Damn it. What do we think of this idea of having people coming into schools and teaching trades who aren't actually school teachers?
So right.
Get an electrician or a plumber. And they come in and teach the kids. And, of course, the school board has a problem with that because that's just what the school board does, has a problem with everything.
Right.
But I really see nothing wrong with it. Look, I think I'd rather have some electrician with a decade or so experience teaching these kids rather than the the drama teacher doing woodworking.
Right. I mean, I don't know to what extent these trades, I haven't looked into what trades these are supposed to be taught, other than I know from experience with my kids in, you know, grade 9 now and going into grade 10, that they've had to take a tech course that included a computer.
Of course.
Tech.
I think they already know that.
Well, yeah, but it's interesting. It's good in the way that, yeah, sure, they know Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok on their phones. You know, to actually do it on the computer and use, you know, some what are important later on for, you know, work life would be spreadsheet stuff and not PowerPoint necessarily anymore, but more that type of computer work and assignment, I think is important, obviously. They don't do a typing course anymore, which I look back on as one of the most important courses I took in high school, and it seemed like a throwaway in grade 9. But, you know, throughout university, typing, you know, 5,000 word essays overnight last minute, you really need to know how to type.
Yeah, you know, I think we're still kind of stuck in this mentality that our kids all have to be geared towards, I'll just say, white collar jobs, for lack of a better term.
Right.
That we've all got to become computer experts. And yes, of course, computers are a huge part of our world. And I think that for a very long time, but I think forever, and it's been a huge mistake, we've looked down our nose, a lot do, at the idea of our kids being a tradesperson.
But I wasn't saying to take typing in terms of any kind of white-collar position in the end. It's more, you want to throw an email out there or type up a resume or if you're in the trades, to type up a proposal or some sort of, you know, quote for someone. You got to be able to type. And so I know kids learn the keyboard, the QWERTY keyboard, much faster because of texting and phones. But I just still think it's a great skill to have overall to speed up your typing. And the other skill or part of this trades course that they take is woodworking.
Yeah.
And I you know, I remember doing shop class in grade 8, I think it was 7 or 8. And building things, learning things, and an incredibly important skill just to know the difference between your screwdrivers and how to put something in place and maybe use some tools too.
Yeah, I don't even know if most schools are even equipped to have shop classes anymore. I remember my high school actually had like a full on mechanics base.
Yes.
You know, you learned how to fix cars, and then there was this weird stage, and I don't know that they even exist anymore. Where there was like trade high schools where if you weren't doing well academically, you could go off. And that again was like, oh, he's too dumb to be in the regular school. He's got, you know, the kids that got sent to the trade school. We just all assumed they were dummies.
Right.
Well, listen,
they're doing well now.
I drove through an area called Russell Woods, which is down on Lake St. Clair. And it is huge, massive homes on big, big lots overlooking the lake. And almost everybody that owns those homes are tradespeople.
Yeah.
So who's the dummy now? I think if you've got people out there who are willing, first of all, to even come in and deal with these ankle biters, these horrible kids,
right?
You know, then bring them on. I don't necessarily know that you need a teaching degree to come in and teach plumbing.
Well, I think, you know, with the principal's issue right now with this is the fact that they've implemented this course and they just say, you know, use the teachers that you have, right? Or they haven't. I think it comes down to a money thing. If you're going to implement this course, then give us more money to spend to hire teachers that are specifically trained to teach this type of thing.
Right. But are there any? Like, because shop and all of that disappeared for so long, I can't think of one person I know who is a teacher and trained to teach wood shop.
Right.
You know.
So. Yeah, I think, certainly the education minister saying that there's money there, they have a plan in place to do this. The principals disagree with that plan.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see. And I think that more and more young people, if they could be geared towards, or if parents would allow or open up the idea of going off to just like a community college and taking a trade, rather than going into some sort of tech side of the world, which everybody seems to be geared towards now.
Right.
You know, it wouldn't be a bad thing. You're in the middle of home renovations. You know what it costs. These people make a lot of money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They do quite well.
And listen, I'm not disagreeing with you. For me, it's you know, I want my kids at least to get some life experience out there, whether it be going to a college. Just I you know, was born or raised with a plan that you're going to go away to school just because there's some life experience to be had by leaving the nest for a couple of years at least and gain that. You know, when you look at, yeah, you're right, there's some great trade jobs that are available and skilled trades that, you know, we all need and call upon quite often.
Yeah.
And, you know, at this high school level, I think there's some basic knowledge that people need. You know, last night, as I mentioned, we were off at the home improvement store, and we were getting blinds, and just measuring with a tape measure is something that's not taught. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if my kids could even do it, right? If it came down to it, yeah, they could tell you the big numbers at 36 inches or 34, but do they know what 5/8 is? Do they know what 7/16 is? Probably not.
Not a chance. I mean, I don't even know. You know, I never did. And I probably should have gone to a trade school, but I would have flunked out of that as well.
Rock Mornings with Craig Venn and Lucky. 94.9 The Rock.